Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
But then I don't live fully in the grace of God that is here. And I begin to put these things in my life, and all of a sudden, God has to slap me on the face, and He simply says, I love you. Isn't that good enough for you?
To Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you're taking your seat, turn to Galatians, but specifically we're going to start with chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to bring one to you. I'm praying for us, you and myself, that during our time of the book of Galatians, that God's Holy Spirit would have an entrance into our lives that maybe He's never had before. And that He would have permission to strip away things that bind us up. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, it would be great if you did. But in that you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, there's a danger as we walk through life that things begin to be loaded up in our life. His intention is for us to be free, to walk with Him. And that's why, as you see the title of the message this morning, there is only one true gospel. There's only one true message of good news. There are many that come that sound like it. There are many that appear to be the message of good news. But there is only one, I'd like to say, and it's the one that's presented in Scripture. And it's the one when Jesus hung on the cross and He looked down upon those that were there. And it was time for Him to pass from this life into the other life, to return to His Father. And He simply looked and said, "It is finished." Those words, tetelestai in the Greek, is a powerful, powerful message that is given to us in the book of Galatians. I've heard a number of people through my 40 years of walking with Jesus make comments about the book of Galatians and say, well, it seems like as we continue on, it's the same message through all six chapters. And I go, exactly, exactly. It's the same message, but yet deeper. He presents the truth to us and He wants us to understand it and to move away from things that will bind us up and make us in bondage to the traditions that we can establish in our lives and the traditions that men can establish for us. It's very important to God. It's very important that there on the road to Damascus, we understand what happened. On the road to Damascus, there was a man steeped in religion and tradition. He felt he was righteous before God because of all that he did. Scripture tells us that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was a man that was deeply educated in the truths and the traditions of the Jewish people, and he was proud of it. He felt of all people, he would be a person that God would be pleased with. Not so. God, on the road to Damascus, presented Himself to Paul, and it drove him to the ground. It drove him to brokenness, and that which he depended upon, and that which we can depend upon, but that which he depended on, got stripped away. Stripped away. in a very important way. But God wasn't finished with the work, as we'll see here in Scripture. He took him out into the wilderness. He didn't want him to go back and get infected in any way. He had to take all this junk that was out of his heart and set it aside and build into it new things. I'm going to ask you to consider today that as we end the service and Ed leads us and the worship team leads us in worship, there may be stuff you would like to leave behind. The Holy Spirit shows it to you. And that you wouldn't be concerned about anybody in this room, except that if the Holy Spirit says to you that you are to leave it behind, you would come up and receive prayer. And just turn away as you turn away and leave whatever it may be there. It's a mighty message. There is only one true gospel. So what we're going to do today, we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 because it's right at the heart of what we're looking at. Then we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 24, just going through there word by word very briefly. And then as we close, I'm going to pull four specific messages out of this area that we're looking at today. And then we'll close and give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts if he wants to do it in our lives. In verse 1, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master, he is master of all." So Paul's going to use an analogy that they would understand, that we would understand there too. The heir to a fortune, the heir to a family in that way, as long as he is a child and he hasn't had an opportunity to receive that inheritance, then he remains just like a servant, just like a slave, is what he's saying. Now keep in mind, he's using a physical thing to present a spiritual point that is very important, that points to spiritual maturity. In verse 2, he says, "But this person is under guardians still at a young age. He's under tutors and stewards until the time appointed by the father." There's a time that's appointed by the father when someone would become an heir to all of the things that the father has gained, and at his death that he would receive that. It's important. So we understand that. But he's speaking again of a spiritual truth, because in verse 3 he says, "Even so we," now he brings it into the spiritual realm, "when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." When we were spiritual children, we were young, we didn't really understand that there is only one true gospel, it's through Jesus Christ. When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, underneath the law. See, you and I today can establish laws in our heart. We can do that ourselves. How many here today want to please God? We do. It's there inside of our hearts. It's placed there by God, and it's a beautiful thing. But I have found in my life, I can't speak to you, sometimes that beautiful thing becomes not so beautiful. Because in my desire to please him, I get all bound up where he doesn't want me to be bound up, and I begin to put these pressures on myself. It isn't that I give myself permission to sin, anything like that. No, not at all that. But I find that I revert back to my trying to please him. I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. But then I don't live fully in the grace of God that is here. And I begin to put these things in my life, and all of a sudden, then God has to slap me on the face, and he simply says, "I love you. Isn't that good enough for you? I love you deeply." It isn't that we're not supposed to do good works. But then when our good works become something, even as Christians, they're not intended to be. Am I communicating? Because I find a trap in my life that way. And it isn't that I want to please him. I want to be in love with him. I want to do what he wants me to do. But it becomes more than it's intended to be. It becomes my way of feeling that I'm close to him. It becomes my way of believing that he's pleased with me. No. That's contrary to what Scripture says. He was pleased to me before the foundations of this earth were set in place. He knew that I would accept him, and that's all that he looks in. This is the work of God, Jesus said, simply to believe on me. Isn't that wonderful? It's just wonderful. But I don't know about you, I complicate it. And that's a danger. "Even so we," verse 3, "when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world," naturally the Jewish laws. But he goes on, verse 4, "but when the fullness of the time had come," God sent forth his son, born or made of a woman, born under the law. He was born under the law, and he was coming to fulfill the law because no one could actually do that. It wasn't that the law wasn't good. It was good. It was pure. But it killed us. It killed everybody because we couldn't fulfill. We cannot. They could not. No one can ever fulfill the law. Scripture says if you fail in one law, then you fail in them all, and you are doomed to eternal separation from God, because the law will kill you and separate you from God. And that's what Paul's saying. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And look at verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law. That's you and I. We know that for salvation, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You guys with me? We believe that today. We're saved by grace. Everybody believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, oh foolish Galatians, oh foolish Bill, oh foolish, add your name there. Why do you begin, and you have begun in the truth? I remember June 2nd, 1975. I'm sorry I repeat it so much, but I remember that in walking forward and giving my heart to Jesus Christ and being broken, totally broken, crying, weeping like a baby, feeling free, finally free, like I'd never felt free in my life before. And why with that freedom that he gave me, and he touched me in such a way. And he said, if you want to remain free, basically is what, you know, the guy reminded us, if you want to be free, then read the word and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Isn't that wonderful? Free is wonderful, isn't it? It truly is free. But see, we add from that point was so wonderful. And then all of a sudden I get so caught up. And that's the danger, he says right there. To redeem, he came to redeem who were under the law. Why would we put ourselves back under the law? That we might receive the adoption as sons. Today, there are traditions of men that are designed by men and by the enemy to trap you and I. Guarantee it. There's religions, major religions throughout the world, designed to trap us, designed to take us away from the truth that there is only one true gospel, and they take us to another gospel, and they dare call it another gospel. It's going to be called another gospel. Gospel, the gospel means good news, and they'll say, this is good news, when in reality, it's not. It adds all the traditions of men. Jesus said in Mark chapter 15, he said that the traditions of men choke out the word of God. He was serious about it when Jesus said it, and Paul's serious about it. Notice in verse 6, he says this, and because you are sons, that's who we are, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you. That's what it's about. Just being in love with the Lord. And I find, I'm just being honest, I find that I add to it. Wow, Lord, if there's so many people here on a Sunday morning, if there's more seats with people in it than seats that are empty, then I know that, Lord, what I'm doing is pleasing to you. I'm being very transparent. I don't battle with it that much anymore. God's going to get me on that one. I know that. But then you move over and you begin to preach to the empty seats. Now, why would you guys sit way back there? Why are you back there, Jeff? You need to be up here in the front row. I can pick on Jeff because he can take it. You know what I did one time? It was stupid. We were in the basement. We were just starting, and I was so fed up with people not sitting in the front row. Thank you, Tim. But so fed up with it, you know, and we all had lawn chairs and all that and everything. And what I did, and Jim and Claudio will remember it, and others will remember it potentially in this room. I just stopped the service, and I took the pulpit, what I had that way, and I walked all the way to the back. I walked over to the back, and then I made everybody turn around. So I had people in the front row. And let me tell you, I got in a lot of trouble. I got under the law real quick. There's these traps that we can, oh, excuse me. That's why you don't sit in the front row. Yeah, I understand. Traps. Oh, Lord, I want to please you. In the midst of the message, I'm going through a message and I'm thinking, this don't make sense.
don't make sense. Oh, I'm blowing it. You know, I can't believe. And before you know it, I'm buying into it. And then before you know it, I'm blowing it. Because I get it in this trap. That's what Paul was concerned about. That's what Jesus is concerned about. It's not by our works. It never can be. Salvation could never be. And our walking with him cannot be maintained by our works because it's a trap. That's what he's saying there, verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Dad, Abba, Father, Dad, I love you. Then verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave. We're no longer slaves. We are children. We're a son. And if we're a son, we're an heir of God through Christ. And I go, you are amazing, Lord. You are amazing. And it makes me more in love with him. It truly does. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. Stripping away things that we depend upon and we build up and we put there and it's not intended to be there. It isn't that we're not supposed to do good works. You bet. It's all the way through Scripture. But it's by him, his power, his working in and through, his poema. That's who we are. His good works that he's designed for us before the foundation of the earth. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Let me repeat a statement that I did, it's quoted last week. The Galatians, having launched their Christian experience by faith, seem content to leave their voyage of faith and chart a new course based on works. A course Paul found disturbing. Excuse me. His letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of work, the Judaizers. And it's a defense of the gospel of faith. The Galatians were being tempted to leave the way of grace for that of the law or works. The law of works had been taken care of by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And when he said it was finished, it is finished. So it is up to us to enter into the truth of this rest of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11 says this, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In John chapter 8, it says, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free, what? Indeed, in reality. What we're going to look at and go through, and then we're going to come back and emphasize the gospel, traditions, called through his grace, and then we'll close with the purpose to preach Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 or verse 6. I marveled, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He's literally saying, I am astonished. I'm blown away that we would understand. You're turning away. In other words, you are deserting. You are transferring your allegiance is a way that one Bible translates this phrase. Transferring your allegiance from him. Notice what the bottom line always is, a turning from God. They were Christians. They were, quote, in love with God. And Paul comes in and says, wait a minute, guys, you are turning away. You who are called in the grace of God. We are called into the grace of Christ, not the walk of completion through works. There's a world of difference, and that is what Galatians is all about. Grace versus the law of works to a different gospel. This is an interesting phrase. The Greek word is heteron, which means different in kind. Different in kind. That, in other words, a total false gospel. Total false gospel. It just wasn't a little bit of move. There is no little bit of move from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys with me on that? Some will say, this is just a little bit. We'll add to this. This is the way that we have to pronounce Jesus' name. This is the way that we are to worship in a certain way. This is the way. I believe in the gospel. Yes, Jesus came. He died. He rose from the dead and all that and everything. But yes, you have to do this. It's just a different, it's not just a different, it's not the same. He's saying if you move away from what is in here in Scripture, it's a whole total false gospel. The Judaizers were coming and saying, all you have to do is return to circumcision. All you had to do is return to certain laws. Eat this way, act this way, dress this way, and all that. You still believe in faith? Yes, you believe in faith. No. It's another gospel. That's what Paul was emphasizing. It's a danger that we must understand. He goes on, verse 7, he says, which is not another. In other words, it's not a gospel at all. That's what that phrase means. It is not a gospel at all. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That was a danger. It's the same danger for me. It's the same danger for you. We accept something that is easy. We accept things because we feel that it makes us feel good. We accept certain things because we're trying to be pleasing to the Lord, which is good, but we, in reality, we're trying to set up our own traditions, our own ways of pleasing God. And guess what? He's just in love with us. There's nothing we could add. There's nothing that we can do. Now, you're not hearing me. Please don't hear me. And I'm not saying we aren't supposed to be involved in those things that he wants us to do, helping others and all that. Yes, but our motivation will be challenged. It's very important to pervert the gospel. In other words, he's saying they were distorting the gospel, and that's a dangerous thing. And the consequences were great, because look at verse 8 and 9. For even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. The word could be translated, let him be damned. It's not a curse word. Damned. Let him be that. Damned to God's eternal condemnation. That's what Paul's saying. But wait a minute, Paul, these are Christian people. Yeah, they were. But in the midst of these Christian people, there were people that were turning away from that true gospel to another gospel, which in fact was not a true gospel whatsoever, but it was being presented as a true gospel. And when you touch God's word, you're in a heap of danger. Because in Revelation chapter 22, listen to what it says. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Woo! Dangerous. That's why we read the word of God from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, is it? Anyway, it sounds good. Beginning to end. That's why we do it. So we'll know it. So when they come on TV, when they come on the radio, when they come as a friend, and they come in literature, they come in different ways, and I'm not saying they're evil people and all that, but they've been caught up in another gospel, and it's a dangerous, dangerous thing is what Paul is saying there. We must be careful. Look at verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men? In other words, do I serve? Do I have a desire to please men? Or do I desire to serve or please God? Or do I seek to please men? Do I solicit, seek the favor of men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's why if anyone presents something that's not there in Scripture, get away. If you hear me say something that is not according to Scripture, get away. First, come up and talk to me. There's a danger. Even those we trust the most, they'll add to it. That's why we read it. It's important that we would do. Do I seek to please men, solicit the favor of men? Verse 11, he says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to human invention. It's not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation, what's it say, of who? Jesus Christ. Paul's understanding of the teachings of God came through a direct contact with Jesus Christ himself. There on the road to Damascus. He was humbled. He was broken. He came face to face with Jesus Christ.
I believe we have the same, maybe not dramatic thing happen in our lives as happened to Paul, but when we come to Jesus Christ, it's a radical change. A radical thing that takes place in our life.
Notice in verse 13, he just goes back and he says this, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, in legalism. Now I how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure." In other words, with fanatical zeal, and tried to destroy it. "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. In Philippians, Paul said this, "For I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He worked real hard at what he was doing. And that's why he had to be driven to the ground. And we need to be driven to the ground at times. That's what happened when I gave my heart to the Lord. I was driven to the ground. And I thank the Lord for that. It's got to take place. And then he just, now as we close out the chapter here, we just see that he says, okay, now here's my credentials. This is why I can speak to you the way that I spoke. Verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his," what's the next word?
Grace.
Isn't that wonderful? "To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." In other words, he was set aside. "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." That's where we get changed. We get into the Word of God personally, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's what happened to Paul. That's why he could say that right there. And then in verse 18, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. I just checked in to make sure that I'm hearing right. And then I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." He wanted to stay away from anything that would influence him there. In verse 20, he says, "Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." And look at verse 24. "And they glorified God in me." A radical change in life. A radical change in life. Go with me back to verse 11. I'm going to close with four thoughts here. Verse 11, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." Four aspects of this that we'll close with, the gospel message. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Please go there. When you're there, say there. You're faster than me. And I know where I'm going. I'm sorry, not that you guys don't know where you're going, okay? That's not good to be interpreted. Can we take the gospel message to this world? Do we know where we can go and open it up and say, here's the gospel message? Because it's important. Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast." Notice there's that "if you hold fast," that word "which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The gospel, the good news. Right there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God." It's simply by faith. It's simply by believing in the gospel message and the truth and the reality that God came. He became one of us. He died on the cross. He lived a sinless life here on earth.
He died, went to the cross for you and I as the supreme sacrifice. They put him in a grave. He rose from the dead to the living. The gospel message, the good news. He did that for you and I. In Galatians chapter 1, go back there, verse 14. He says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of men. Traditions of men, they're dangerous. As I said in Matthew, Jesus said that they will choke out the very word of God if they are allowed to have place in our life. We have to be careful. By 70 AD, the rabbis had developed 341 laws for daily living. 341 laws that you had to understand and you had to live in. 341 laws. I have difficulty. I really do on the roads. What do you mean 55 miles an hour? What do you mean one way? This should not be a one-way street. I have difficulty. What do you mean don't step on the grass? Go the other way. No, not that rebellious. But there's rebellious. Rebellion. You know, there is. I can't do it. Can you guys do it? 341 laws, daily laws, that they had to live by. Guess what? If they failed in one, it was all over. Just one. That's what Paul's teaching against in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. First Peter said this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's not by keeping the law. Anybody go praise the Lord? It's not. It's simply by Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. Tetelestai, he yelled out on the cross. Again, it is finished. Finished for salvation. Finished for empowering us to walk our walks. And then we can just cry out, Dad, I love you. I really love you. I don't know about all this and that and this and that that I get hung up in with. And he just says, okay, you know, I know your heart's good. I know your intentions are good and all, but they've become something that they're not intended to be in your heart, Bill. Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. Is it really that simple, Lord? Is it really that simple that if I'm madly in love with you, that you'll do what you're supposed to, you can only do? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's that simple, but yet that complicated. Because we complicate it. Called through his grace there in verse 15. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In first chapter of Ephesians, verse 7, it says, for him, in God, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Lord, really, is it simply by grace? Yes, it is, my son. Simply, Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. Simply. Really, Lord? Really, Lord? Anybody with me? Really, Lord? And he goes, yes. Yes. Because if you're free, you can be empowered by me. Not clogged up with this world. And notice in verse 16, he speaks about for the purpose to preach the gospel. We are to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. That comes out of a love affair. Comes out of a love relationship. I am so in love with you, Lord. I cannot hold it back. But when I find myself not in that place, then I find I clog it up with this and that and this and that and this and that. And I go, oh my goodness, Lord, how did I ever get here? How did I get here? And he just simply says, you thought too much, Bill. You complicated it. It's okay just to move by grace. It's okay simply to be in love with God. You guys with me? It's okay just to be in love with him. Deeply in love. And see, there's so many things that complicate things in our life and distort him. So we're not in love as deeply as we should be with him. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people.'" Isaiah couldn't wait to go tell the people because he had seen the Lord high and lifted up. That's why it's important to have a morning devotion. That's why it's important to get into the Word. That's why it's important to slow down, because we will see him high and lifted up, and we'll go, "Lord, come on, I just want to go. Wherever you want me to go, I want to go." Because we're in love with him, not because we have to. We have looked at 19 verses today that have challenged us, number one, to remember the gospel, what it's all about. Number two, challenge us to beware of the traditions of men. Number three, challenge us to remember that we have been called to God through his grace, not anything man could do. And lastly, we've been challenged to realize that our purpose is to preach the gospel to all the world. Counterfeit money is lacking in authority. It does not have the backing of the federal government. Maybe that's a good thing. That's twice now I've said that, and I just got kind of sort of a laugh. But anyway, I'm not going to do it the third service. Counterfeit money is lacking in authority. It does not have the backing of the federal government. A good counterfeiter can dupe some people into accepting his copy work as legitimate currency. But eventually, when the fake money is brought before the authorities, it will be found false and sentenced to destruction. Likewise, a false gospel lacks something very important: the authority of Christ. The preacher of a false gospel may believe it himself and persuade men to accept his message. Nevertheless, in the final analysis, there is no salvation in his gospel. Paul tells us that such a preacher will be apprehended by the courts of heaven and judgment pronounced. Let him be accursed, sent to damnation, if they would change the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is it the gospel, according to Jesus Christ, that you believe in, or is it a gospel according to man that you believe in, a counterfeit? That's the danger for you and I. There's only one gospel that leads to freedom. Have we chosen that gospel? And hang on to that gospel. Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." And a question to consider: are you, am I, trying to work our way into heaven? Or are we trying to maintain our salvation through our works? If so, we need to stop. We need to stop, because it won't work. It can only be accomplished through God's grace. Amen? Simple message: for grace you are saved. And by grace — now this is not the scripture right there in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but by grace, our walk with the Lord is maintained, not by any works at all. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up in just a moment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have you guys remain seated. And that, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Is there anything that's clogging it up? You know, I can look back and, it just used to be this way. It used to be so simple. I was just simply in love. But now it's got complicated. I've moved away from the simplicity. I've moved into something that I need to lay down and simply say, "Lord, I'm going to move away from this." So I'm going to give us an opportunity. We've ended the message early. Give us an opportunity that anyone who wants to — don't care about who's here, who's looking, or who's not looking. But if you want to come up, I'm going to ask the leadership to come up. You want to join hands and just say, "Pray for me." And then you pray. That's okay. That's a good thing. Amen? It truly is. Whatever you want to do. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that as we take time now simply to worship you, that, Lord, you'd set us aside. Some way your Spirit has spoken to us, then that we would respond to that and just lay it down and be free. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.com. www.thepagesturn.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.